بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that on one occasion the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking through a deserted part, an uninhabited part of the Madinatul Munawwarah, and I accompanied the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَىٰ عَصِيبٍ. He says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking and he had with him or a palm branch with him, and he was reclining on it. فَمَرَّ بِقَوْمٍ مِّنَ الْيَهُودِ فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ سَلُوهُ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. We passed by a group of Jews, amongst them were the scholars, and some of them said to others in the group, ask him, ask Muhammad about the ruh. Some others said, do not ask him. They were having this debate amongst themselves. Why? Because in the Torah, the divine scripture revealed to Musa alayhi salam, very limited information was provided with regards to the ruh. And the nature of the ruh, the nature of the spirit or the soul, is such that its knowledge is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So those who felt he should be asked said that let's test him. If he provides us with an elaborate, detailed response, then we know he is a liar. Those who felt we should not ask him is because if he provides us with a very concise, brief response, then his response corresponds to what is in the Torah, and then it is proven that he is a Nabi of Allah. Nevertheless, they went ahead and they asked him about the ruh. They said, Ya Muhammad, mar ruh? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the ruh? What is the nature of the ruh? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَمَا زَالَ مُتَوَكِّئًا عَلَى الْعَسِيبِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained reclining on the palm branch, and he says, I realized and understood, because there was a moment of silence, I understood that he was receiving wahi, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then raised his head and he recited the verse from the Quran, which is found in Surah Bani Israel or Suratul Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him there on the spot, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you about the ruh. They are asking you about the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say to them that its nature is known only to my Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And O humanity, you have been given little knowledge. Your knowledge in general is very little. And with regards to the ruh, you have been given very little knowledge about the ruh. That was the response. It corresponded with the response that was found in the Torah. In the commentary of this verse, Allama Alusi rahimahullah, he says, hiya min jinsi mastathara Allah ta'ala bi'ilmihi. The ruh, Allah alone has full knowledge of the true nature of the ruh. There is no microscope, there is no scientific instrument, there is no technology on earth that can capture the ruh, that can analyze or study the ruh, that can discover the intricacies and the complexities of the ruh. He goes on to write, Allama Alusi rahimahullah, annaha jawharun basit, مجرد محدث بأمر الله تعالى وتكوينه وتأثيره إفادة الحياة للجسد He says the ruh is an independent, very delicate substance and creation of Allah that comes into existence by Allah's command, kun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of his word kun, and something comes into existence. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ruh is min amri rabbi, the ruh comes into existence with the command of my Rabb. What is that command? Kun. So the ruh is not the byproduct of something. It is not like the body, the physical body, which is a byproduct of soil and then a drop of sperm. The ruh is something that comes into existence with the command of Allah, kun, exist, and then it exists. And he writes that the ruh is what gives life to the physical body. So what is the definition of life? Hayat. Life is the injection or the implanting of the ruh into the physical body. And when does this inoculation, or when does this infusion or implantation take place? There's a beautiful hadith wherein Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes in detail the fetal developments that take place in the womb of the mother. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in that description, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ فَيُنْفَخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. When the fetus is 120 days old, 4 months have passed since it was conceived. When the fetus is 120 years old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel. He is commissioned and he is sent with the task to implant the ruh into the unborn child. The angel carries the ruh. There is an angel in charge of extracting it, and there is an angel in charge of injecting it and implanting it into the physical body. That is the definition of hayat, life. At that stage, now life has come into existence. And maut, what is maut? What is death? Death is the extraction of the ruh from the body. The ruh does not experience death. It is the physical body. So the union between the two is hayat, life. The separation of the two, the extraction of the ruh from the body, that is maut, death. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says both these phenomena, life, the union between the two, hayat, and maut, the separation of the two, both these are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a third state. We have learned what is hayat, we have learned what is maut, death. Between the two, there is a state that exists which is known as the state of ihtidar, a state between life and death. That is the duration or the period just before maut. The phase of transition of the ruh, the transition from one realm to the next, the transition from dunya to al-akhirah, from the present world to the afterlife. We can understand this as an airport building. The airport building, there is one area that is accessible to everyone. Everyone can enter that area, and you can interact with whoever is in that area, and you can observe what is happening in that area of the airport. But then there is a restricted area. Only the passenger, only you are allowed to enter that restricted area, and that is the boarding gates. Understand the phase of ihtidar, the transition of the soul from the temporary abode of dunya to the eternal abode of akhirah, as that restricted area before you embark upon the aircraft. The aircraft is the carrier that takes you to your destination. So when you are in that restricted area, your family, they will leave you at the point where you will enter that restricted area. They cannot go beyond that point. When you enter the restricted area, there are things that you see that they cannot see. You have not yet embarked upon the aircraft. The journey has not yet commenced. The flight has not yet started. So that is the moment of ihtibar. You will interact with people over there that they cannot interact with. You will have experiences over there that they are deprived of. That is the phase of ihtibar, the phase of transition, when you are about to embark on the aircraft that takes you to your final destination. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained this phase of ihtibar. This phase of ihtibar. What will you observe when you are in that moment of your life? What did your mother observe when she was in that moment of her life? Your father, your spouse, your children. Abra bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala says, بينما نحن مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ بصر بجماعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in Madinah Munawwara, and he spotted a group of Muslims. They were assembled at a certain point. فقال على ما اجتمع هؤلاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked the Sahaba, why have those people assembled over there على قبر يحفرونه. They said, O Nabi of Allah, they are digging the grave of a Muslim who has recently passed away. He was a man from the Ansar. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, فَفَزِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَبَدَرَ بَيْنَ يَدِي أَصْحَابِهِ مُسْرِعًا حَتَّى انْتَهَى إِلَى الْقَبْرِ, he says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became perturbed, he became concerned, and he immediately hastened towards them until he arrived at the grave. فَانْتَهَيْنَا, we walked behind him, and we all arrived at the grave. وَلَمَّا يُلْحَقْ, the grave was not yet ready and it was not yet prepared for the body to be lowered into it. فجلس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجلسنا حوله فجثى عليه. We all sat around the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He knelt at the grave, next to the grave, and we all sat around him. We were anticipating some advice from him, and that was the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which unfortunately does not happen today. At the qabristan, at the time of burial, when the hearts are soft, when the hearts are receptive, an advice is given at that point. That was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew that at that point the hearts are absolutely receptive. Why? The more the heart experiences akhirah, the softer it becomes. The softer it becomes. And your first introduction to akhirah is the grave, is the qabr. So he would always give an advice at that particular junction, at that point. So we sat around him. Bara radiallahu ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقْبَلْتُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ لِأَنْظُرَ مَا يَسْنَعُ, directly opposite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to see what he would do. فَبَكَى حَتَّى بَلَّ الثَّرَى مِنْ دُمُوعِ, he began weeping and weeping until the soil became wet with his tears. وفي رواية وفي يده عود ينكت به الأرض, in another riwayah, another narration, it appears that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick in his hand and he was deep in thought and he was digging into the ground, and then he raised his head, he lifted and he spoke. What did he say? استعيذ بالله من عذاب القبر. Thrice he made the statement. He says, seek Allah's protection from the punishment of the grave. The punishment of the grave is a reality. And there's nothing you can do about it when you're there. After every salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah, he would seek protection against the punishment of the grave. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adabil qabri. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the punishment of the qabr, the punishment of the grave. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Ya ikhwani, limithli hadha al-yawm fa'iddu. Oh my brothers, this is the only day for which you should truly prepare. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba the phase of ihtibar. We said the phase of ihtibar is the phase of transition from one realm to the next. moments before the ruh is extracted from the body. There are things that you will observe during that phase, during that moment. There are experiences that you will have. There are interactions that may take place between you and those who have been sent with the duty to extract the ruh from your body. So he said to the Sahaba, describing to them that scene or that phase that every human being will experience. He says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, the true believer. How will he experience and how will he encounter the phase of ihtidar, the phase between death and life? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the believer is ready to depart the world and he is facing the year after, نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَائِكَةٌ بِيضُ الْوُجُوهِ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمُ الشَّمْسِ. Angels from heaven descend with bright faces. If he is a true believer, they will come in the most beautiful form, with bright their faces with the sun. مَعَهُمْ كَفَنٌ مِّنْ أَكْفَانِ الْجَنَّةِ وَحَنُوتٌ مِّنْ حَنُوتِ الْجَنَّةِ. They will have with them the shrouds, the kafans from the kafans of Jannah, and perfumes from the perfumes of paradise. The way the body is wrapped in pieces of cloth and the way the body is wrapped in those shrouds, similarly, the ruh will also have an experience of enshrouding. It too will be wrapped. The kafan will be carried by who? By the angels. These angels. And the way we apply perfume to the kafan, they too will have perfumes with them. He will see this. He will observe this. He is obviously in the restricted area. Those around him cannot see it because he has entered into that restricted area. But he will observe it. Hatta yajlisu minhu madd al-basar. This group of angels, they are not responsible for the extraction. Their duty is to prepare the occasion for the extraction. I want you to picture the scene in an operating theater. The patient is wheeled into the theater. You have a group of nurses there, and their responsibility is to prepare the environment and is to have everything in order before the head surgeon arrives and conducts the procedure. So they arrive before Malakul Maut arrives. And you will observe them preparing. You will see them. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he gives us a bit more detail regarding the scene. When you will observe these creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arriving, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ تَنْزِلُ عَلَى الْمُحْتَبَرِ. He says the angels will land next to the muhtabar. Who's the muhtabar? The one in the state of ihtibar. The state of ihtibar, the transition phase between dunya and akhirah. وَتَجْلِسُ قَرِيبًا مِّنْهُ. They will sit next to him. وَيُشَاهِدُهُمْ عِيَانًا. He will see them with his naked eye. وَيَتَّحَدَّثُونَ عِنْدَهُ. They will be chatting amongst themselves in his presence. For them it's business as usual. وَمَعَهُمُ الْأَكْفَانُ وَالْحَنُوتُ إِمَّا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا مِنَ النَّارِ. He says they will be carrying the kafans, the shrouds, and they will be carrying the perfume. Either those kafans will be kafans from Jannah or kafans from Jahannam. وَيُؤَمِّنُونَ عَلَى دُعَاءِ الْحَاضِرِينَ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ. There will be people, family members around the muhtabar making dua. They will say ameen to the dua. That is why it's so important at that point and that time, while you are in the presence of that family member who is experiencing the state of ihtidar, it is so important that you make good du'as, because the malaika are saying ameen to the du'as that you are making in favor of that person who is experiencing this very, very difficult phase of whatever remains of his life. وَقَدْ يُسَلِّمُونَ عَلَى الْمُحْتَضَرِ. At times when they arrive, they give salam to the muhtadar. They give salam to that person. If he's a good believer, they arrive and they give him salam and they tell him Allah is looking forward to meeting him. They give him the glad tidings of Jannah. وَيَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ تَارَةً. There are experiences that some have had in the past where those around them witness them responding to the salam. Some of them by word, some of them by gesture, some of them responded to the salam by their hearts. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, لما كان في يومه الذي مات فيه, the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, when he was in the state of ihtidar, this state between life and death, قال أجلسوني, he told those around him, make me sit up, make me comfortable, and I would like to sit up. So they made him sit. فقال أنا الذي أمرتني فقصرت ونهيتني فعصيت. He addressed Allah, oh Allah, I'm the one whom you told to do something, I did not do it, and you told me to stay away from something, I did not stay away from it. And then he says, La ilaha illallah. And then he raised his head towards the heavens. فَأَحَدَّ النَّظْرِ. He looked very intensely and very deeply he gazed towards the heavens. So those around him whispered to him, what are you looking at? He whispered back and he says, إِنِّي لَأَرَى حَضَرَهُ. I see creatures of Allah approaching. مَا هُمْ بِإِنْسٍ وَلَا جِنٍ. Neither man nor human. Neither man nor jinn kind. And I see them approaching, coming towards me. And as he whispered those words, he departed from this world. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. Allah speaks of this moment of ihtidar, which every one of us will experience, and which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says we should prepare for. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the Quran rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the soul of a dying person reaches the throat, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. You, the family members, you will be looking on. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we are going to be nearer to him than you. You will be at his side, but we, meaning the angels, we will be clearer to such a person than you, but you cannot see what he is seeing. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. Beware of the day when the soul reaches the collarbone as it leaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beware of the day. The last verse of the Quran that was revealed to insan was a verse that reminds us of that day. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, fear the day. Be prepared for the day. Never forget the day. Be conscious of the day when you will all be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. When the soul reaches the collarbone as it leaves. وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِ. And it will be said, is there any healer who can save this person's life? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. And the dying person, he realizes that it is his time to depart. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in that hadith of Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these angels, they will prepare the kafan. They will prepare whatever is required for wrapping the soul. And the maut will arrive. The angel of death. حَتَّى يَجْلِسَ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ. He will position himself by the head of this person who is in the state of ihtidar. And he will then address the ruh. We spoke about the ruh. And he will say to it, if it is a good purified ruh, a ruh that remained purified, not the unpurified one, he will say to the purified ruh, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسَ الطَّيِّبَةِ أُخْرُجِي إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ. O pure soil, O pure soul, come out to the forgiveness of Allah and His pleasure. May Allah make it such that our soul is addressed this way. The soul, it recognizes the voice of Malakul Maut. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the scene. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. O tranquil soul, مُطْمَئِنَّة. Return to your Lord, well pleased. And well pleasing to Him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes how the soul of a true believer will leave the body. فَتَخْرُجْ تَسِيلُ كَمَا تَسِيلُ الْقَطْرَةِ. It comes out like a drop from a water skin. It will slip out. The ruh will slip out. Right? With great ease, effortlessly. And the moment it slips out, Malakul Maut will catch it. And he holds it. The ruh will start moving from the toes. The ruh is that subtle creation of Allah that exists in every part of the body. It is infused in every part of the body. And the first part of the body that will become lifeless, the feet. And it will travel all the way. And as it travels upwards towards the head, the limbs of the body will become lifeless. Some say it comes out from the mouth and Malakul Maut will catch it. Some says it comes out from the nostrils and he will capture it. فَإِذَا أَخَذَهَا لَمْ يَدَعُوهَا فِي يَدِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ The moment Malakul Maut captures the ruh and he holds on to it, the team of angels around him, they do not leave it with him for the blink of an eye. His job is done. He has another ruh to extract. They take over. And what do they do? حَتَّى يَأْخُذُوهَا فَيَجْعَلُوهَا فِي ذَلِكَ الْكَفَنْ وَفِي ذَلِكَ الْحَنُوتِ They place it in that shroud and they place it in that perfume. The kafan of the ruh starts immediately. Immediately, there's no ghusl for the ruh. فَيَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا كَأَطْيَبِ نَفْخَةِ مِسْكٍ وُجِدَتْ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ The smelling from it is more pleasant than any musk you would find on the face of the earth. And that is when the flight of the ruh commences. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيُسْعِدُونَ بِهَا Then they, the angels, they ascend with it, carrying the ruh with them towards the heaven. The flight of the ruh begins. The journey into al-akhirah has commenced. This is the beginning of the journey. Every one of us would love to experience this type of a death. You know, when Allah speaks about the experience of death, in more than one ayah, Allah says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every nafs will taste death. Why does Allah use the word taste? Some say because when the ruh leaves the mouth, it will have a taste. A pure ruh that was purified, that was not stained with the disobedience of Allah and with kufr and shirk and so on and so forth, it will leave a beautiful taste in the mouth. Death has a flavor. And its flavor, either pleasant or unpleasant, depends on the actions that we performed in this world. The actions that we do are what determines the experience of the taste of death. What are some of the actions that will ensure a good death? The hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you want the good death, you want the beautiful experience when your soul is at rest as a beautiful soul, when the soul slips out easily like the drop of water slips out of its container. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sana'i'ul ma'roof. Number one, acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Taqim asari' as-su'. Be kind towards others, empower others, take care of others, uplift others, be generous towards others. Speak that which is good, do that which is good, bring happiness to the lives of others. Do not be a source of discomfort and pain for others. The more kind you are to others during your life, the more kind Allah will be with you at the time of maut. Number one, acts of kindness. Number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather in the Quran, the verse is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Istiqamah, steadfastness. Remain steadfast upon deen. Remain steadfast upon the obedience of Allah. Allah says, after you brought iman, if you will remain steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will remain loyal to Allah azza wa jal, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the period of time, regardless of the situation, regardless of the environment, there's istiqamah, there's consistency in your obedience to Allah, there's steadfastness, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. Those angels will come down as described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith. And then important, make dua for a good ending. Make dua for a good ending. Always ask Allah for husn al-khatimah. Allahumma inni as'aluka husn al-khatimah. The dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make. Allahumma tawaffana muslimin, wa ahina muslimin, wa alhiqna bis-salihin, ghayra khazaya wala maftunin. What are the actions that lead to a bad death? These are just some of the actions that lead to a good death. Some of the actions that result and lead to a bad death. May Allah save us all from a bad death. Number one, negligence and carelessness in our salah. When we are negligent with regards to salah, we are careless with regards to the commandment of salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورٌ وَلَا بُرْهَانٌ وَلَا نَجَاتٌ. If you will not consistently observe your salah as it should be observed, then you will have no light at the time of your death, no light in the qabr, no light in the akhirah. You will not have evidence or any proof on the day of qiyamah to show that you are a believer, and you will have no salvation. وَحُشِرَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَقَارُونَ وَأُبَيِّ بْنِ خَلَفٍ. And on the day of qiyamah, you will be resurrected in the company of Fir'aun and Haman. Salah, hold on to salah. It will ensure a good death, a good mode. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, من ترك صلاة واحدة متعمدا لقي الله تعالى وهو عليه غضبان. If you will neglect your salah, you will meet Allah while Allah will be angry at you. It's the bare minimum, understand that. The bare minimum that Allah asks of us is to offer 5 times salah. That's the bare minimum. If one cannot fulfill the bare minimum, and yet Allah takes care of him, Allah provides him, Allah feeds him, then he will be met with anger in akhirah. Another action which leads to a bad death is disobedience to one's parents. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine a companion of the Nabi of Allah, a sahabi. They were encouraging him to say the kalima, say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He couldn't, until eventually his mother confessed that he was a disobedient child. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, listen here, you better forgive him, otherwise he's heading to hellfire. And she forgave him and he uttered the shahada. Another example, Abu Ishaq al-Fazazi, he writes about a man, kana bari'an fil ilm. There was a man who was known for his knowledge, very, very knowledgeable person in the community. But he was disobedient to his parents. That knowledge created within him a sense of superiority and pride to the extent where he was disobedient to his parents. وَعِنْدَ احْتِضَارِهِ, with all that knowledge, with all that teaching, with all that preaching, at the time of ihtidar, when he was in that phase of ihtidar, he could not utter the kalima. He could not say la ilaha illallah. And he passed away in that state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a good ending and protect us from an evil ending. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.